Tonight's shir may be a little old, and we hope it shouldn't be nagia now for at least another full year. Hopefully if we learn about it now, we won't have to worry about it the next good couple of months. But the shaila of what happens with snow on Shabbos. Many shailas that come up when dealing with snow on Shabbos, as we all live through. And I feel like some of the shurim I give are always after the fact. After the lottery's over, we can discuss. You can buy a lottery ticket after. So my svar is like this. You do whatever you're going to do. It's over. Whatever you did, you did. Now we'll see if it was right or wrong. That's my svar. But usually it's because I can't plan these things as well as I would like to. But in any case, there's a lot to talk about with regard to snow. Some of the major shailas that Bli Nedar will hopefully get to tonight is shoveling the snow, salting snow, playing in the snow, throwing snowballs. My daughter asked me over on Shabbos, is she allowed to play in the snow? So I told her, such a great question. We gave her a shir in it. She said, yeah, I know. My wife told her to ask me that question, so she knew I was going to ask her. You know, people say that in Queens, they didn't get any plows down in Queens. I could be made Eidus Gemura, that not only did we get plowed, I got plowed in twice. So now I got plowed twice, and while I was shoveling, they came down again. You think they'd have Rachmanis for me watching me sitting there with my little shovel and their big plow? No, plowed me right in twice without a problem. But Baruch Hashem, when I used some chachma this time around, instead of sitting out in 2 hours just doing nothing, I decided to use my iPhone properly, and I listened to a shiur from Rosh Hashachter on snow. It made shoveling snow so pleasant. I never had such an enjoyable experience shoveling snow before in my life. Listening to a shiur for an hour and a half, kept on going. It was really, really enjoyable. So I will frequently mention some others that he mentioned in some in his shiur about snow, but definitely a good eitz if you want the time to pass quickly is to do something like that. It takes your mind off of the actual action of shoveling snow. The first question that comes up with shoveling snow is the snow itself muktzah. Is snow muktzah? This snowstorm that we just had is for sure a problem, because when did the snow start? It started on Shabbos. There's two separate shailas. If you have a snowstorm before Shabbos, and the snow that's sitting on the ground, is that muktzah? That's one shaila. And the other shaila they have is, what about the snow that has nothing to do with before Shabbos? The snow first came on Shabbos, is that muktzah? Why would that be muktzah? Based on a principle called noilet. Things that were not around before Shabbos came, and they only came after Shabbos, so your mekatze daite olav, you don't have, your mind is not on it, and therefore they consider it muktzah. So the question is that an issue for snow? Now to be honest, it has nothing to do with snow. It's negated to rain. If it starts to rain for the first time on Friday night, usually it's not such an issue because we don't do much with the rain. But it's really the same shaila. So what is the issue boiled down to? So there's a Gemara in Erev and Daf Mevav Menal. The Gemara in Erev is discussing rain. Very important to know. The Gemara is discussing rain. And the Gemara is saying that how much room do you have with rain that falls on Yom Tov? How much can you carry the rain? Is that chum, and what's the rule? So the Gemara says, the rain can go as far as the human being can go. The person who now is holding the rain in his rishos, he's holding it in his bucket, he can move the rain as much as he could walk. So the Gemara asks the question, Faki Gemara, V'likni shvisa ba'ovim. Why don't we say that when Yom Tov came, the mokum of the rain should be in the clouds? That's where the rain was. We all know that rain forms in clouds. So if the rain, before it came down on Shabbat, on Yom Tov at 10 o'clock at night, so where was it before it came? That was in the clouds. So it's makim shvisa should be in the clouds. So why is it that you're allowed to carry it more than that? So the Gemara says, tif should be nay. So you have a right from this Gemara, it ain't chumen l'malam yud. There's no rules of chumen once you're above 10. The yesh chumen l'kdi shvisa b'avim. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, no. Maybe no. Maybe even above Yud, you're also bound by the rules of Tchumen. Umayya ba'iva mivla bloyi. Says the Gemara, a meteorology term, that the rain and the clouds are not there. They're absorbed in the clouds to the extent that they're not even viewed as sitting in the cloud. The Havamina of the Gemara was, you have a cloud, and in the cloud sits the rain, and at some point the cloud opens and the rain comes down. So the Gemara says, 1 second, if that's the case, so where was the mokim of the rain? The rain was sitting in a cloud. So the Gemara, that's not the pshat. It's mivla bloyi. It's absorbed in it. It has no shvisa in the cloud. So when Yom Tov came, this thing had no shvisa because it wasn't really in existence. That's what the Gemara says. Frank, the Gemara, that can't be. Kol shekein da'avlu noilat. If that's taka the mitzias of rain, so then it's really noilat. If it wasn't around when Yom Tov came, so it was a new creation after Yom Tov, so it's for sure be muktza. Forget about how far you can carry. You can't carry it all. It's muktza. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamaya ba'avim may nid naidi. The Gemara says, you're right. Not the way you look at water in a cloud is that it's there, it exists, but it's may nid naidi. It's moving around. It's constantly moving. So what? Since it's constantly moving, it's never kaina shvisa. It doesn't have a resting point in the cloud. That's the end of the Gemara. So the shakla v'tayi of this Gemara in Erevin basically is what is the status of rain in a cloud before it comes down? Is it considered sitting in the cloud just waiting to be opened up? Or is it for somehow as if it's not there, it's absorbed in the cloud? Maskonas HaGemara, the Gemara comes out and says that the way we look at rain is, it's there, but it's made in the 90, so which means it's not a problem of Noila. So Maskonas HaGemara and Erevin would tell us that rain is not an issue of Noila because it's already there, it's in the world, it's just waiting, it's just moving around in the cloud. Taisus over here, very important Taisus. Taisus over here in Erevin, Taisus in Beya is even more clear. Taisus says, I don't understand the Gemara's problem. The Gemara Akasha, if you hold that the way it works with rain, is that rain's in the cloud, but it's non-existent, for the Gemara, it's Noilat. Then Tema, Fractisis, what's the problem? Velema ha Reb Shimonhi, the Lesle Muktza. What's the problem? We know there's this famous sheet of Reb Shimon throughout Beya. Reb Shimon Lesle Muktza. Reb Shimon doesn't hold of Muktza. So Reb Shimon doesn't hold of Muktza, so he's not going to hold of Noilat either. What's the problem? So why couldn't the Gemara just answer that this Braisa that says that the rain and the clouds are not there is not a Kasha? Because you go like Reb Shimon. Says Taisis, Yeshlema, the Benoilat ki Hagavna, the Davar Chodosh, Shlabola, Oilam Kalika, Moide Reb Shimon. Says Taisis, hey, no, you can't do that. This is real Noilat. This is the strongest example of Noilat is rain in the clouds. Rain in the clouds is mamish, a new existence that was not around before Shabbos, before Yom Tov. So that everyone agrees. Even if you don't hold of the other muktzas, you'll have to accept that to be a problem, and even Reb Shimon will accept it as a problem, and you have no options. What is Taisus telling us? Taisus is telling us that this is the real deal Noilat. Water in a cloud is really Noilat because it wasn't there before Shabbos V'Yom Tov. It only comes afterwards. Hence, it would be a problem of Noilat according to all opinions. Again, that was all in the Havamin of the Gemara. The Maskanas HaGemara, that rain is not like that. Rain is already in the cloud, it's just moving, so this whole thing is not negay. Rain, of course, is in the world, it's sitting in the cloud. Ah, so why is it not kind of Shvis in the cloud? The answer is because the Gemara says it moves around. With regard to what?
With the
Yeah. I mean, right. This would only be Negeya if you want to answer up the price. Right. The reason why this is going to be important is because it's a very, very interesting sheet of the Prima Gadim. My Oitzar Chachma didn't have a good copy of the Prima Gadim, so I'm going to photocopy from the Debre Tzina Rav. The Debre Tzina Rav and Chelek Aleph Siman Chafa, the Sefer Be'er Moshe, he quotes from this, and everyone quotes from this very interesting Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim writes in his introduction to Hilchas Yom Tov. Prima Gadim writes the following, and he quotes it word for word. He writes like this, number 3. Kafi anir is shloishahim. The kama mina noil yesh. Says the Prima Gadim in his introduction to Hilchas Yom Tov, there's 3 categories of noilat. Echad noilat gomruhu. Says the Prima Gadim, and there's one category, that's the real deal noilat. What's that case, says the Prima Gadim? Maya bi'iva mivla bloi. Rain absorbed in the clouds that are not there before Shabbos is real deal noilat. Why, says the Prima Gadim, Huva b'Taisvus? Taisvus said it's so real deal that even Reb Shimon, who less lay muktza, holds it's also noilat. So it's real deal noilat. V'sham nefrushu kulum ki maya b'ivi afi Reb Shimon moidu da'asa b'Shabbos. Because there Taisvus says, Taisvus Beya, Taisvus Erevin, that even Reb Shimon that doesn't hold of muktza, hold of noilat. Ulefiza, now that's really the end of the Prima Gadim. Now, if the Prima Gadim is right, that rain in a cloud is considered noilat, so then it should come out that rain that falls for the first time on Friday night should be muktza. Or for that matter, snow that falls for the first time on Friday night should be muktzah, based on the premise of noilat. There's only one problem. That was the havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara says that's not the lumdus. So everyone asks on this Prima Gadim, how could the Prima Gadim tell us that noilat gomor is a case of rain in a cloud? The Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says rain in a cloud is not noilat. It's there, it's just moving. So asks the Debre Tzina, he says, Lefiza maya hayarid meha avim b'yem ha-shabbat v'yom tev. It comes out according to this Prima Gadim, that rain that comes down on Shabbat v'yom tev, asur mishon noilat. Alibu du kuliyam, according to everyone. V'him noilat hayoysa gomor v'chomor. And this is the most extreme level of noilat. Avalani oimed, umishtaymim al rabbeinu ha-amken ha-gov. He gives him a nice praise. He says, I don't understand this Prima Gadim. Eich kasav dover kazeh. How could the Prima Gadim write that? Why? Because it's against the Maskanas HaGemara. If the Prima Gadim was going in the Havamin of the Gemara, that's great, but the Prima Gadim is a practical halacha sefer. Practically the halacha, we go like the Maskanas HaGemara, that it's not Noilat. So how could the Prima Gadim write that rain in the cloud is Noilat? This is the kasha that many, many have with this Prima Gadim. Very troubling Prima Gadim based on the Maskanas HaGemara in Erevin. Why is it negeh to us? Because if you paskin like this Prima Gadim, it comes out that any rain or snow that falls for the first time after Shabbos is muktzah. Why is it muktza? Because of Noilat. So all that snow that fell Friday night was all Noilat snow. It all came after, no, it didn't, in Baltimore it started before, but for us it all came after Shabbos. So all the snow everywhere you turn is Noilat. It's muktza. It's the highest level of muktza, nothing you can talk about. The problem is, what does the Prima Gadim do with the Gemara? So the Debrei Tzina Rav comes to the defense of this Prima Gadim. He says, it can't be the Prima Gadim. If we knew the Gemara in Ervin, the Debrei Tzina knew the Gemara in Ervin, I'd like to believe the Prima Gadim knew the Gemara in Ervin. So how does the Prima Gadim read the Gemara? So the Debrei Tzina Rav writes, no, you misunderstood the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim wasn't saying that rain in the clouds is Noilat. He's saying the Havamina of the Gemara, if you can ever find such a Metzias, that would be Noilat Gamma. The Prima Gadim never said that rain that falls on Shabbos is Noilat Gomer. He says that reality of the Havamin of the Gemara, which is rain that happens to be not yet formed in the cloud, that would be Noilat Gomer. What is that case practically? I don't know. You have to figure it out. But that's not what rain is. Rain is not that. The Prima Gadim wasn't telling us that rain is Noilat. He was saying, if you could find a scenario that would be like the Havamin of the Gemara, that would be Noilat. That's how the Debrei Tzina wants to defend this Prima Gadim. It's a very troubling Prima Gadim. It doesn't make sense. So Rabbi Yashiv over here, number four, writes something very interesting. The Sefer Ashrei Ish from Rabbi Yashiv writes this. Be'echad ha-svarim ninsa dirk me'a prima gadim. In one of the svarim I saw that they make a dirk from this prima gadim. She'ha-shelag ha-yayi b'shabbos have a neilat u'muktzah. That snow that falls on Shabbos is neilat. Be'em is a dirk toss. It's not true. The shelag ain't neilat because rain is not neilat. She'ainenu k'may kerach ela k'mayim. It's not like ice. Which is a shayla if you make ice on Shabbos is a noilat. Says Rabbi Yashiv, snow is like rain. And since Maskanas HaGemara, we say rain is not noilat, so snow is not noilat. So he also rejects, like the Debrei Tzina, he also rejects this Prima Gadim, and he believes this Prima Gadim is not something that we should be referring to halacha l'maisa. And the truth is, you have to say that, because it's mefurish in Rishonim, the Meiri in a couple of places, there's a Tshuvas Ge'onim, that write explicitly, rain that falls on Shabbos is not muktzah, based on the Maskanas HaGemara and Ervin. So for the Prima Gadim to say what he said is impossible. It's connected to Gemara, it's connected to Rishonim. And it's even connected to Halacha. If you look at number 3b, the Beis Yosef writes from the Shabbat HaLeket, who quotes from Reb Tzemach Goin, who writes, Motar HaYoyrit B'Shabbos, rain that falls on Shabbos will be Yom Tov. Avagav de me'et meloyo yovim. Even if there were no clouds before, it wasn't even at all in the sky. Motol lircha to lishtais mehem. You can drink that water and you can bathe it. You can wash in that water. Why? That's sick. Because the Gemara says in Erevin, Maya ba'av a minidaiti. The Maskanas HaGemara was that rain is in the cloud. It's moving, but it's not. But therefore, it's not kenishvisa. But I have a muktzah. It's not muktzah. So it's a mefurish rishayim. The Beis Yosef brings a halacha. So how could the Prima Gadim come and argue all these rishayim going in the Gemara? It's just the Prima Gadim never meant it. So we have to believe that this Prima Gadim is, there's some confusion over here, but Lamaisa, the Prima Gadim was never telling us that rain is Muktzah, so therefore rain is not Noilat, and for the same price, snow would not be Noilat, because they're really the same thing. That would be the assumption. So we just took care of that problem. So all the snow that fell on Friday night, fresh snow on Shabbos, would not be a problem of Noilat. It's interesting, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, number 5, the Shulchan Aruch says, Mutol litin kli tachas adelof b'Shabbos. You're allowed to take a kli, you're allowed to take a cup, and put it under some form of a drain or a roof that water is pooling down off, and put it in there. It says that in the smalat, it gets filled up, and now you have to dump it out. I remember when I was in yeshiva, we used to have leaks all the time from the ceilings, and we put garbage cans. And then the garbage can got filled up, we dumped it out and did it again. So if it happens on Shabbos, so you're allowed to do that. That's rainwater. Why are you allowed to do it, says the Mishnah Berurah. Number in Sifkat and Lamed, the Ein Al Hamotar Hayerit Shei Muktzah I Noilat, because rain that falls on Shabbos is not Muktzah and it's also not Noilat. Why? The Yachol Ishtoise, because you can drink it Eilichetz Bimenu, or you can wash your hands with it, do something with it. Vuhu Adin Imuroi Raklishtias Behema. And let's say you don't want to drink it, good, they'll give it to your animal, but it's useful. This Mishnah Berurah is very integral. This Mishnah Berurah is coming to bypass two problems that rain and snow can have. One problem is Noilat. That's one issue. Another problem is muktzah machmas gufay. Things that are useless are also muktzah. It's something that serves no purpose, or maybe needs to be defined a little better, and has no shame kli, is also called muktzah machmas gufay. Classic example is a stone. Rock, stones, they're muktzah because there's no use. So why don't you say the same thing with rainwater? What are you going to do with rainwater? What? That's right. Well, to talk about the Satmar, how some of them, there's a whole story about this. It's a whole mice with the Satmar Rebbe said a whole stickle Torah. They want to bring a ride that you're allowed to do tashlich. They bring a ride that you're allowed to do tashlich during the week. Because they say a story with Reb Chaim Vital's son, where he went to do tashlich and he saw an animal and he threw a rock at the animal. So you see, he couldn't have done tashlich on Yom Tov, because if you do tashlich on Yom Tov, he wouldn't be allowed to throw the rock. So Elamai, you're allowed to do tashlich during the week. So the Satmar Rebbe tightened, but it's not a raya. he was mimana, he before Yom Tov came, he had dasked to use this stone for something. And Mela, since he had dasked to use the stone he put it into his mind. So everyone jokes, if the Satmars want to throw rocks at people before Shabbos, they have to appoint the rock and say, okay, this is going to be my rock that I'm throwing at Mechal Shabbos people before Shabbos comes, and then the rock is no longer Muktzeh. It's really truly Negeya if you maybe want to, let's say, use rocks for your Sukkah. I see before Sukkot, you have a big rock, you want to put it on to hold something down. You want to, so this way, the shlach doesn't fly away, you want to use something like that. So in that case, you'd have to have das on the rock beforehand. By doing so, then you'd be able to use the rock on Shabbos. But in any case, it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that he justifies rain as having a purpose. What's the purpose? Either drink it, wash with it, or give it to your animals. Now today, I don't think most of us feel that there's much benefit out of the rain, but for nonetheless the price came right, but there was, and therefore rain is considered no longer muktzah, and we don't have to worry about rain. Rain is not a problem of muktzah. However, although we're saying that rain seems to be not muktzah, and we're assuming that rain and snow would be in the same category, which there's no reason to think otherwise, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very, very famous tshuva. If you look at number 3C, it's a little lower down on the page. When I put the Ma'amar Kremis together after 1 o'clock a.m., I forget to put things in the right place. So if you look a little lower down on the paper, 3C, Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva in Chelek Hay, someone asked Rav Moshe the following question. Im shelag aser betotal, is one allowed to move snow? Who be izdabnos acheres pasek da'avle muktza? In other times, Rav Moshe paskin that snow is muktzah. So the person asking Rav Moshe wanted to know snow muktzah. Rav Moshe answered the following: Tshuva having muktzah, the having noilad. So Rav Moshe finds snow is noilad. So if the snow falls on Friday night, it's muktzah is noilad. What do you mean? Snow is noilad. What happened to the Gemara in Erevin? Says Rav Moshe, v'geshem. I mean, by rain we say is like that. Ain't it right, Lister? The ain't a kigeshem. So Rav Moshe mitzias, rain is not like snow. And a chanami, rain, of course, is not noilat, because rain is ready in the clouds, but snow is not like that. Snow is not negated to the Gemara and Erevin. The Gemara and Erevin is only rain. Snow is different rules. Snow is like Rav Moshe is noilat. So he writes in parentheses, Yitochin shekavanose sheshelek sheba'avim vadei shekamanda lesedomi. For some reason, you're going to have to say that snow is not like rain. Rain, we assume that the rain is ready in the clouds, and they're just moving around. Snow is not there at all. And this is something that can be mavai. You have to ask a good meteorologist. They'll tell you, you Google where is snow formed. You can figure it out. So, but Rav Moshe holds a big chiddush. Rav Moshe holds, again, and most people disagree with this with Moshe, but Rav Moshe holds that snow that falls first on Shabbos is a problem of noilat. So according to Rav Moshe, all the snow that fell Friday night, not even a shayla on it. It's muktzah, not because you can't eat it or drink it. It's muktzah because of noilat. Almost all other Acharim disagree with Moshe's understanding that snow is a problem of Noila. They hold that rain and snow the same category based on the Gemara Erevin, and therefore it's not a problem. That was the opinion of Eliashiv, that was the opinion of the Debet Sina Rav, and that was the opinion of most of the Gedolei HaPoskim that snow is not a problem of Noila. Now Moshe Feinstein brings up another problem with snow. If you look over here at number 6, a sefer called Teltulei Shabbos written by Pinchas Badner on Hilchas Muktzeh, he writes like this. The Shemati Mahagoyin of Moshe Feinstein Shlita, I heard from Rav Moshe, the kivan de ein haderech l'shtamish im sheleg, since today people don't really use snow for anything, the gam ein ha-sheleg nechshav machl behema, no one really feeds it to their animals, havalei muktza, now it's muktza. So Rav Moshe, snow is muktza not because of noilat. Let's say the snow would have fell first on Friday, it would still be muktza, because muktza machl was gufa, what are you going to do with it? It's very clear, the Mishnah Berurah was trying to explain why does rain have a use. So Rav Moshe, snow has no use. So Rav Moshe, v'leibi boi shelek shenafal b'Shabbos tavle noilat. Of course, if it fell on Shabbos, it's noilat. El afilu nafal afnei Shabbos. Even if the snow fell before Shabbos, mikol mokim muktzah. It's still muktzah. So Rav Moshe, again, the way he quotes Rav Moshe Pinchas Badner, it sounds like the reason why snow is muktzah, putting aside noilat, is because it's useless. What are you going to do with snow? What do you do with snow? The sister gets in the way. Right? The city spends millions of dollars getting rid of it. Right? What do you do with snow? It's useless. Then he writes over here, v'ayim meseches nida yudzayin amalaf. What does he want with Maseches Nidi Yizayin Amar Aleph? So if you look at the Gemara over there, photocopy to number 7. The Gemara writes like this, Tanan Hasam. Sheleg einay loy oichel v'loy mashke. Snow is a funny reality. Legabe tumah, it doesn't have a status of food, and it doesn't have a status of drink. It's not one of the four categories with regard to have a shame tumah. So what? So if Shechtu explains that the problem over here is that in Ohelches Muktzah, the way things work is that if you don't have a shame kli, with regard to be mekabel tumah and other things, then you're muktzah machmas gufa. You don't count. You don't have a kli, therefore you're not in the parasha of muktzah. So that was what Moshe was addressing over here. What Moshe was saying is that since the Gemara says that snow is not in the family of tumah, it's not oichel, it's nothing, it's no man's land, it doesn't have a shame kli. If it doesn't have a shame kli, so then you can't, it's muktzah on Shabbos because of muktzah machmas gufay. Meaning if Moshe wasn't addressing the way he writes it over here, that it's useless on its own. It's useless because that's the way it was created, that's the dinim that it has. It's like a stone. So therefore, if Moshe tainted that snow, because the Gemara says the nida is not subjected to the rules of Tumah Vatara, it lacks the Shem Kli. If it lacks the Shem Kli, then it can't be considered in the parasha of things that you're allowed to move. So how do we get around this? Chayra Moshe is making a very fair argument. The Gemara says very clearly in nida that that's the reality of snow. So how do you get around it? So Shechta wanted to say the way you get around it is like this. If you look at number 8, there's a machlokes mechaber about playing ball on Shabbos. The mechaber writes, also l'sachik b'Shabbos v'yomtiv b'kador. It's prohibited to play with a ball on Shabbos. Why can't you play with a ball on Shabbos? There's a din how to learn this mechaber, but one of the ways of learning it is because a ball doesn't have a shame kli. It's like etzim. It's like a rock. It's a fancy rock and it's an expensive rock, but it's a rock. It's nothing. It doesn't have a shame kli. So if it doesn't have a shame kli, it's not in the parasha of kalim that you're allowed to be metatl on Shabbos. So therefore, that's why the mechaber holds you not allowed to play with a ball on Shabbos. Comes along the Ramah and says, Hagah, v'yesh matirim. We are makel to play with balls. V'nogul ha'okel. Why? The reason why we're makel is because we made it into a kli. You're right, if someone would lay on the ball wouldn't become tame because it doesn't have shame kli. But since people sell them in stores and people use them and they're played with, that makes it into a kli. So Shechta wanted to say that since we pass like this Ramah, that balls are not muktzah because we make it into ishtamshas. Same thing with snow. Is that since Einach Nami, snow, halachically speaking, is not mekabel tumah, it doesn't have a shem kli, but since people use it, they make snowballs, they throw it, they kick it, they make it, they use it, the fact that we use it, it changes its status, and now it is being able to be in the parasha of muktzah. And therefore, it would be in the parasha of Kalim. If it's a Kli, it's no longer bound by the rules of Muktzah Machmas Gufay, and it's no longer Muktzah. That's what he wants to say, how all those people that argue with Rav Moshe get around this problem of why isn't Rav Moshe right, based on the Gemara Nida, that snow should be Muktzah Machmas Gufay.
He still has
the Noilad
problem.
Right, Noilad is the Noilad, but how to get around Muktzah Machmas Gufay. Now, the truth is, a lot of Achrayim taina on Rav Moshe that they don't understand what Rav Moshe is talking about. Why is snow useless? You can do a lot of good things with snow. If you look at the Nishma Shabbos, Asat Medayin, he writes, he calls from the Eish Lavram. The Eish Lavram writes, the Shelagin of Muktzah, number 9. Sheroi Litnei Loifis, you can give it to the birds. B'makim Shtiyas Mayim, if you don't have any water, so you give the birds the snow. Kenoi Glitin Loizis, Tavka Shel, they used to give the pigeons specifically snow. Then he says, you have other usages. Kam Chozi Lasis Menu Mikvah. You can make snow out of a mikvah. A lot of the Magid Yeshuim would talk about halachas of snow, they talk about this. Shechta talks about this a lot also in his share, about can you make a mikveh out of snow? You can't have water, you can't set up a proper system with mikveh, so you take a lot of snow. So he says over a story that in France, around the times of the World War II, they had a mikveh, and they tried using snow, and they said, you don't even realize how much snow you need to have to get memsah after it's all over. You take all the snow, you think, oh, you took so much snow. It's still not going to be memsah. You need a lot of snow in order to do it. Breuer had a son, Mark Breuer, who was in France during the war in 1945 time. So he tried to come up with ways to make a mikveh. He spoke to his father, how to make a mikveh properly, and he tried using snow, and he realized that no matter how much snow you're going to bring, it's going to be very hard to get memsah. The mice is the whole deal in the Paiskim can you talk to use a mikveh made out of snow. Mr. Bira Paskin's definite, if you're dying for bread, you could use. You can dunk your head maybe in the snow. Because Nithyos Adayim for bread is only the Rabbanon, so for the Rabbanon we make. So it says the Nishma Shabbos have a lot of uses for snow. Then he says, what do you mean? It's good for kids, adults, whatever. People throw snowballs at each other, so the snow has a use. Assuming you're allowed to make a snowball on Shabbos, which is also a debate amongst the Paiskim. Well, if you're allowed to throw a snowball, if you're allowed to make a snowball on Shabbos. Yeah. As a shail also, big shail also. So they want to tighten it, depends. If you hold Tfilas Kalim as the Raisi, you have to be Machmir. If you hold Tfilas Kalim as the Rabbanon, let's for example, glass. The assumption is glass is the Rabbanon according to everyone. The Gemara says glass is the Rabbanon. So there are those Paiskim who want to say that maybe you can do glass in snow because it's the Rabbanon and you can be more makel, but things that are the rice are like metal, you wouldn't be able to do in snow. It's a whole discussion. Big discussion.
You have, like, in Baltimore, you have
yeah.
30 inches. If you took something.
Possibly.
Can you consider the whole.
It's a whole discussion. How do you calculate it? It's complicated. How exactly would you calculate the force, the memsah, with regard to snow? Do you have to wait for it to melt? Not to melt, the shuven carrying it. He discussed this a lot of Shechter. All these things are funny shahs about mikvah, about with the snow. But tying it to Nishma Shabbos, I don't understand. It has a use. Then he quotes the Chavis Yoy. The Chavis Yoy, again, a lot of these sources are older. Rav Moshe was after these sources, right? The Eish LaRam says you give your birds snow, but we don't give our birds snow. Rav Moshe lived in our time, man. We don't give our birds snow. The Chavis Yoy lived 300 years ago. He writes, yeah, maybe back then, 300 years ago, they used snow. Today we don't use snow. So he concludes that he thinks it's hard to believe this Rav Moshe, and he disagrees with Rav Moshe. He thinks it's v'shona machmas gufa. And he ends off, he says, Lamaisa, why does Rav Moshe say what he says? So he says like this, Ulai, it depends. Shemash Shog Mipume Dalma, why does everyone say over the Shelag Humukza? Hanu Shelag Shiyarad Mikvar Vinidras, Vinislachlech Boifin Shosi, Ain't a Royal Midi. Says the Nishma Shabbos, Rabbi Eliashiv says the same svar. It depends when the snow fell. That fresh, clear, white snow, no, that snow you'll pick up and you'll throw and you'll dance and you'll do something with it. The dirty, black snow that's now on the streets, no one's going to touch it. So Rabbi Eliashiv held like this also. Rabbi Eliashiv held that snow might be muktzah machmas gufa. It depends where the snow is holding. If you get the snow in the early stages, but it's nice and clean and fresh, not a problem. It's not muktzah. But if you get the snow a couple days into it, after the car's already rode over it, then it's muktzah machmas gufa. It's disgusting. You're not going to use it. You're not going to touch it. I heard a report a few days ago that it's extremely dangerous to drink, to eat snow, even clear snow. Let me boy, if there's something in the snow, then you mean that an animal went to the bathroom there. But even clear snow, doctors have said that it's dangerous because of the different the things that come out of the car, out of the car, from the exhaust. It seeps into the snow, and even fresh, clean snow, nothing on it, is also dangerous. Now, if that's the case, then we're going to be in trouble. So then it's not right for anything. You could still tell me it's right to throw snowballs at people. Okay, that might be a shtamsha still. But nonetheless, the consensus of most achrayim is not like this Rav Moshe. On both regards, we hold snow is not muktzah, and we also hold it's not muktzah machmas gufa.
Just on a practical term, the kind of Rav Moshe, yeah. Walking on snow.
Oh, so the walking, we'll see that you're going to be allowed to do. But the question is, if we're going to talk about shoveling, how can you shovel snow? It's muktzah. You're moving around muktzah. Now it doesn't even get the. You know. Well, not if you're moving it. That's not an issue. So there are those who want to tie it to total idea hatzad. I'm not touching the snow. The shovel's touching the snow, so it's total idea hatzad. The whole shtickle tire. No, so the walking is going to be, because we're going to see later on, if it's EF Sheb Ben Yanache, there's nothing else you can do, so it's not going to be a problem. But the question, if you want to start talking about shoveling, where you're consciously picking it up, that should be a problem according to Rav Moshe. There's a tshuva from Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank in Har Tzvi. He tells us an interesting story. He says, B'Shabbos Kodesh Rish Chodesh Ador. Okay, if you think we're out of the loop yet with snow, we still got a few months to go. The story goes, Rish Chodesh Ador, Tovshin Yud Zayin, 1957, Yarat Shel Gadol. Eretz Yisrael got big snow in 1957. They were supposed to get big snow this week. They got lucky. And it all came this way instead. We got it. But the Har Tzvi writes, it was a big snowstorm in 1957, Rosh Chodesh Adar. And they asked him, HaShelig Muktzah V'Asa B'Totlo, is it Muktzah? And he answers, Hinei B'Shelig Shiyoid B'Erev Shabbos B'Vada Eim B'Srach Shal Muktzah. Says, fell on Erev Shabbos. So he says, no problem. He says, what do you mean? Why is it not muktzah machmas gufa? He says, I'll bring your raya. The halacha is, the Gemara says, miratzkenes ha-shelag l'techa mayim. B'chav and shulchan aruch paskens, that you're allowed to take a piece of ice and put it into a drink. What do you mean? I thought they're muktzah. It's not muktzah. There's nothing muktzah about it. You can use it. You can take snow, put it into a drink, or cool down your drink. So therefore, says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, like everyone else seems to be saying, that snow is not muktzah. That was the opinion of Rabbi Eliashiv, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. If you look at number 10, that's the opinion of the Debrit Zinner Rav. Nishalte, I was asked, Im mei gishomim, oi shalig hayerid im hei muktzah b'shabbos. Hashavte, I answered, de enam muktzah. They are completely not muktzah. If you look at number 12, the Shemir Shabbos, Kechos, Rabbi Neuwirth writes, also Las is kudu ishalig above ishalig. He holds you're not allowed to make snowballs. Okay, the Shemir Shabbos holds you're not allowed to make snowballs. Keep that in mind. Aval hashalig atzma, enam muktzah. Snow itself is not muktzah. Gam im yared b'shabbos, even if it fell on Shabbos. What's the even? Don't tell me it's Naila, it's not a problem of Naila. Then he quotes something fascinating to me. He quotes from Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who writes the following. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, Metzias, snow is made right before it falls on the ground. It's not made earlier. I don't know where he got this from, but Reb Shlomo Zalman says it. So Tanya Reb Shlomo Zalman, if that's the lomdus, so it for sure should be a problem of Neulat. It first forms when it's a couple inches from the ground. And still he held us not Neulat. Why? What? I don't understand it, but that's what Reb Shlomo Zalman says. He says it's not Neulat, even though he believes that snow doesn't form in the clouds. He thinks snow forms much later. So maybe this is what Reb Moshe held. Ataka snow doesn't form like rain, snow forms later, and therefore it is Neulat. But that halach l'maisa, the overwhelming majority of the achrayim is both folds. They hold it's not muktzah machmas gufay. They also hold it's not a problem of neilat. I found even a bigger chiddush. I found the sefer that quotes that Rav Moshe held that snow is not mukta. I thought over here, if you look at number 13, verse 7, Shalma Yehuda, he writes, Geshem ene mukta. Okay, rain is not mukta, no big chiddush. It's a Gemara in Ervin. Vuhadin Chalik, same thing, snow. He quotes, where does he get this from? Mishnah Berura. V'chei pasuk again, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shegeshem v'shelag einam noilad. Rav Moshe Feinstein paskin that snow and rain is not noilad. Not the Moshe Feinstein we have. The Moshe Feinstein we have, he says it is noilad. So I don't know who got what and who was wrong and who was right. But the way we have Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, Rav Moshe held that snow would be a problem of noilad. So according to Rav Moshe, so snow is mukta, so it's going to be very hard to justify shoveling it. So mukta, you can't move it. But let's say you assume not like Rav Moshe, you assume like everyone else, all the other gedolei achreinim of our generation, that snow is not mukta, and therefore, so can I shovel the snow? Why shouldn't I be allowed to shovel snow? What intrinsic issue is there with shoveling snow? So if you ask most people in the street, they'll tell you, you know why you can't shovel snow? Because snow shovels are mukta. Now, why are snow shovels mukta? Because you can't shovel snow. If you'd be allowed to shovel snow, they wouldn't be mukta. Same reason why a cup is not mukta, right? The classic answer, right? So let's try to figure out, is there anything really wrong with shoveling snow? Again, let's just, for argument's sake, talk about two scenarios. We're talking about a place where there is an Eruv. We're not talking about places without Eruv. And let's just say, for argument's sake, we're not talking about on ground, soft ground. We're talking about hard concrete. If you're talking about on soft ground, grass, you have issues of bindness, so it gets more complicated. So, you know, sidewalk, good old-fashioned concrete. What prohibition is there with shoveling? What are you doing wrong? What exactly is there? What? So the truth is, it's not really explicitly anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to shovel snow. It doesn't say that anywhere. So where does everyone dream up this prohibition? So they base it on another halacha. If you look at number 14, there's a machaber in Shulchan Aruch, a simin shin lamed gimel. Ironically enough, the simin that's meremez to snow is simin shin lamed gimel. Okay? Interesting idea. Maybe that's how they figured it out. But there's a machaber in Shulchan Aruch, simin shin lamed gimel, which is really based on a gemara in the beginning of the 18th parak of Shabbos. It's a mishnah beginning, mefanin. The machaber writes this, Aser oitzer shal tfuah. Person has a big storage house, big area full of tfuah. And he needs to move it around. He needs space. He needs to have a meal. He needs to have a minion there. So he's got to move everything. He's got to pick up all the grain and move it to the side, move it out, move it around. He's got to move things around. So the Mechaber writes, based on the Mishnah and the Gemara in Shabbos, Oitzer shal tfu or shal kadi yayin. Let's say you have a warehouse of grain or barrels of wine. Af bishem mutter listapik bimenu. Even though you can come and take out a bottle of wine without a problem. But also lahascha lefnoise. But you can't go around clearing it out. Elo ledvar mitzvah. Unless the reason why you're moving it out is for some form of a mitzvah. What would be the example? You're trying to make room for guests. Some people are stranded on the road. They need somewhere to eat. They need somewhere to sleep. So you're going to clear out your warehouse, put up beds and put up tables. Or the kvayah by base medrash. People need to learn somewhere. They need to maybe make a minyan, learn Torah, whatever it is. So then you're allowed to do it. What exactly is wrong with cleaning out your warehouse? It's a great time. You have all your family at home. You get the kids to work. Everyone takes a barrel. You'll be done much faster. What exactly is wrong with clearing out a warehouse on Shabbos? So the Ran over there writes, Mr. Berur brings a halacha based on the Beis Yosef. There's two reasons. Also, last is Kein Ledover HaRoshos. Why can't you do it for something that's not mitzvah based? V'ata mishum ticha. It's a big bother. Oy mishum uvdin dechal. Okay? Two gzeiros, the Rabbana, that are very hard to exactly put into categories. What exactly is a teicha? What's not a teicha? For some people, watching the snow pile up on Shabbos is a bigger teicha than shoveling it when it happens. Of the dechol, what exactly the kumna of the dechol is likewise a complicated shaila. Rabbi Ribya writes in his sefer, in Hilchas Saiser, he writes that if, let's say, it would be a very very soft snow, it's not very heavy, it's not very high, all you got to do is take out a broom and brush it, he thinks there's no problem. Where's the teicha? Why is it any different than sweeping your floor at home? It's not a major tircha. Yeah, the snow that we had over Shabbos was a major tircha. You had to really work. You had to sweat. That's a tircha. But if you're just going to move some snow off your step, it snows a coating. It snows an inch, a couple of inches. All you got to do is take the broom. You don't even break a sweat. He doesn't think that should be a problem at all, because where's the tircha? But the two reasons that the Mishnah Berurah gives is tircha nuvdin dechol. So we now know why it's also. So now the question is, being that it's not an issur d'oraisa, it's an issur d'rabbanan, so how much wiggle room do we have? How much coolness can we throw at this to try to figure out ways to be mekel? So right away we have the dvar mitzvah. Now the examples are achnosas orchem, right? Now this doesn't mean that you invite your neighbor over for lunch. That's a nice thing to do, but he can also go home and eat lunch in his house, right? We're talking about people that push them nowhere to eat. This is not so relevant today. Again, maybe if a case of someone is stranded, someone was traveling before Shabbos and then the snow hit and he's stuck and he has nowhere to sleep, nowhere to eat, and you're going to start shoveling so he can walk, that might be letzarech archim, that might be mutter. Maybe if it's elderly family members who can't get to the house, and if they stay at home, it's dangerous for them, or they don't have a place to stay, it's not warm, they're not cared for, maybe that. Letzarech beis medrash, let's say you need to have a minion. You gotta shovel away so you can get to shul. People can come to shul. Is that also mutter? So there's an interesting mishtabru over here, number 15. The mishtabru over there is actually talking about, not in Hilchas over here with regard to shoveling this. No, the mishtabru over there writes like this. Mishum da'av uvde d'chol, he's talking about something which is uvde d'chol, and he writes, v'ayde'ena Yehudi shari, when the whole prohibition is uvde d'chol with a goy, mutter, im yesh b'tzerech harbe. There's a big tzerech. K'chol midi shu shvus t'shvus. Like anything else, that's a shvus t'shvus. Why? Because uvde d'chol is the nesed rabbanon. Amir l'nochri is the nesed rabbanon. So generally we have rule shvus t'shvus, b'moke mitzvah, it's mutter. Right, so let's say, for example, let's say assume for argument's sake, makam mitzvah with me, so people can walk to shul. So then you'd say, I'd allow to ask the guy to shovel the snow, shvus to shvus, but makam mitzvah. Mr. Bru writes over this terminology, tzarech harbe. What exactly constitutes a tzarech harbe? What's a big tzarech? But if you can figure out what exactly would constitute a big tzarech, so then we'd be able to justify why exactly we're allowed to shovel the snow if the problem is tich. Now, Mr. Bru also writes in 15b, he writes, let's say you don't want to shovel. You just want to move it with your foot. So let's say, for example, you don't want to shovel your steps, but you want to walk up and down enough times. And if you walk up and down your front lawn enough times in the steps, you made a path. So Mr. Bruce says that's not a problem. That's not included in actually clearing it out, so that wouldn't be a problem. So the first thing would be is if you don't want to actually shovel it, you just want to walk up and down your sidewalk and maybe kick a little bit with your foot, that would be okay. Now, let's say, for example, you held like Rav Moshe that snow would be muktzah. Would there be any heter to move muktzah on Shabbos? What would the heter be? So the truth is, there is a heter. If you look in the bottom of the page, number 16, there's an interesting Ramah. The Ramah writes, "V'im nishmeru b'makim shechayim lahazik." Let's say muktzah breaks, and it now presents a dangerous situation. So you have a glass vase. The halacha is all shivrei kelim, things that break are useless. Useless, they're muktzah. So if you have something that dangerous that breaks, it happened in my house a few months ago. We had a glass cup, it broke everywhere, little piece of glass all over the floor. So every little piece is muktzah. So you think I'm going to leave it there till after Shabbos? My wife will never let me, right? It's a hazardous. The kids can touch it. So the Ramah writes, King on Kleez Chuchis, Shin Shabra al Shochan, Aybamakim Shahochan, Motel Tatal Ashivarm, you're allowed to move it. Kdeila Fanish, Lay Zukuban, so people shouldn't get hurt. So can you make the same argument with the snow? That even in Tim Salim that the snow is muktzah, I have to move it. If I don't move the snow, people are going to get hurt. Why is moving the snow any different than moving the glass at my house? People could get hurt with snow, so why am I not? Would I be allowed to move it? Even if you hold its muktzah, would I be allowed to move it based on the principle that is dangerous? Now the truth is, we can go even further. Not if it's muktzah machmas gufay. Broken kelim are the lowest level. You can't do anything with it. So the only way to move it would be if you hold it's dangerous. Now again, to be fair and honest, one has to really ask himself, how dangerous is snow on the ground? Everyone knows there's snow. It's not like a surprise, wow, here's snow. I didn't realize there was snow outside. We all know there's snow, and we all know we're not supposed to walk outside when there's snow. So the question is this really considered a danger? This is not something that people take as a surprise. Wow, there's snow on the ground. They know this. If a glass breaks on the floor and there's little kids playing around, then they don't know that there's glass. They touch everything. So one could make the argument that the whole issue of snow is b'chlal not comparable, because that's something that everyone knows about. So maybe that's not a heter. It's even more than that. If you look at the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch in number 17, the Mechaber writes the following halacha. Let's say you have a coal that's in a place that people can get hurt. A coal, piece of fire. You're allowed to extinguish it on Shabbos. If you see a dangerous situation, you can extinguish it. Why? Says the Mishtabura, number 18. Because the whole extinguishing of this would be aloni sidra rabbanan. Because real kibbutz is when you want to make coal. I don't want to make coal, I want to get the fire out. So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's only nisad rabbanon. Ubemakim hazeka de rabim. When you're dealing with the chance of the public getting hurt, sheyuchlu and inazik begufam meikazru, there was never a gzeirah de rabbanon. So again, if the whole issue for shoveling snow is only nisad rabbanon, so we have this principle: whenever it's nisad rabbanon, we waive the nisad rabbanon when people can get hurt. So again, make the same argument here also. People can get hurt if you don't shovel your snow. So I should be allowed to shovel my snow based on the principle that if people are going to get hurt, it should be mutter. That's the chayav one can make the argument. Now, what exactly is included in this line of Hezekah de Rabbim? How many people need to potentially get hurt in order for it to be Hezekah de Rabbim? I live on a private street. No one comes down my street. My family, they know not to go out. They know, you're in the house. So is that Hezekah de Rabbim? Would that also be considered Hezekah de Rabbim? So the truth is, there's another Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, number 19. The Mechaber writes, Koitz hamunach b'rishas rabbim. You have a thorn that's in rishas rabbim, and now we're talking about carrying. Till now, we were talking about either doing a nisad rabbanon or muktzah. Now the Mechaber says, let's say you have a thorn in the Rishas Rabbim. So mutl tatli pachas pachas medal aramis. You need to get it out of the Rishas Rabbim, but you're not allowed to carry it. There's no erev. So what do? So you metaltal it pachas pachas. You stop until you remove the danger. Why? Bishum the chashin and shem yizuka by rabbim. We're afraid that the rabbim will get hurt. Ubemakim hazekah the rabbim. And whenever there's a chance of the rabbim getting hurt, like Gaz Rabban and Shvusim, the rabbanim removed all Shvusim. So again, same argument. If you assume snow piling up in your front of your house is dangerous, and if you don't clear it, the rabbim, and who's the rabbim? Your steps are probably not the rabbim, unless you have the shul coming to your house afterwards for kiddush. The rabbim is the streets, maybe, possibly your sidewalk. But says the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, if the rabbim are going to get hurt, we wave a suit of rabbanim. Shoveling snow at best with his neighbors, and this is the rabbanim. So one can make the argument, if you think you live in a place where people are going to walk by and get hurt, it would be mutter based on this Mechaber Shulchan Aruch. But the Mishnah Berurah has a kasha. The Mishnah Berurah says, I don't understand. You told me before that if I have muktzah in my house, I'm allowed to move it, because b'makim derabbanan's b'makim sakana. Now you're telling me it's only if it's a rabbim. Make up your mind. My house is not a rabbim. My house is my family. I'm allowed to move muktzah in my house because it's only derabbanan, but derabbanan is okay. So why, when it comes to the halacha of kites and a kachelos, why does it have to dafka be a rabbim? So Mr. Brewer says, because it depends what's the nature of the isser. Muktzah is a lower level isser. But something like tiltu pachas medalad, even though it's only derabbanan, but it's sourced in the araisa. Carrying is be'etzem a deraisa. So Rav Asher Bush has a terrific article where he writes a whole article about shoveling snow on Shabbos. He's a Rav in Wesley Hills in Muncie. He's on the Hanholos HaYeshiva of Frisch Yeshiva. He wrote a lot of articles in Beis Yitzchak, some other places he wrote an article. So he wrote a very nice article on shoveling snow on Shabbos. So he tainas, if this Mr. Brewer is right, then any time that the Rabban is a tap of the Rabban that has no basis midaraisa, then we waive it even though there's no Rabbim. So he wants to tainal, if he's there, it should come out. So shoveling snow is a Rabban based on what? Of the Dechol? Of the Dechol is not connected to a deraisa. Tircha? That's not based on a deraisa. So then you don't need Rabbim. It's like muktzah. So if you don't need rabbim, even for a minority, you'd waive the Issa D'Rabbanan. So even the steps in your house would also be mutter, because it's no different than the muktzah in your house. It's the muktzah is like the same thing in the steps. So he wants to tell, according to this Mishnah Berurah, not only would you be allowed to shovel for the front of your house, for people that are walking, be even allowed to shovel, possibly for your steps in your house. Hashem Zalman says that when we talk about rabbim, we mean three people. So as long as three people can potentially get hurt, that would be good enough. Now there's a machloikis between the Magen Avraham and the Rivash. What type of things are we talking about over here? You can get hurt. What does that mean? Are those things that you could have prevented, meaning you could have seen it, or only something that no one would be able to tell? Machloikis Magen Avraham and the Rivash. The Rivash says, we're talking about something that the onlooker would not know about. Meaning, if I'd be walking down the street, I wouldn't be able to see this gachelis, and you know that there's a gachelis, so you're allowed to move it so I don't get hurt. But if I can see the gachelis the same way you can see the gachelis, so then I'm supposed to walk around the gachelis. So, if you hold like that, so snow, I know snow's out there, and you know the snow's out there. So then what's the head for you to move the snow from me? I shouldn't be there. Now, we don't pass like that. We pass like the Magen Avraham, that even if the snow is something that you should know about, it would still be allowed, but you have to make the argument, is this really considered hazeka derabim? How damaged can a person get from the snow? Yeah, you can fall, and it's uncomfortable, and maybe you can even have a lawsuit, but how damaged are we talking about with the snow? Rav Menashe Klein wants to add in a tshuva that maybe there's a cheshbon of dinah machlus adina. You get fined if you don't shovel your snow. Halavai, I can show you some homes who deserve a good fine for not shoveling their snow today, right? But officially, you're supposed to get fined. Any times they can sue you if you don't shovel your snow, right? So is that considered a svar v'ezeka the gufa? It's hard to know. So he's not convinced that would be a good heter. But l'maisa l'chayrit should come out that if you can justify that and you think it's dangerous in front of your house, that people can really hurt themselves, they can fall, they can get hurt, so then you'd be allowed to shovel based on this principle. Now it's interesting, in his article, Boshe Bush wants to tie it, maybe not. He wants to tie it, even though we waive the Isser of the Dechol of Tircha, maybe it's only a certain type of mitzvahs. Something like Beis Medrash, something like Orchim, not something so I can go to shul. He says, what's the difference? He says, why didn't Chazal waive the Isser of riding on a train on Shabbos? We spoke about this here to share a while ago. Why can't you take a train? Why didn't they say everyone should be allowed to take a train so they can get to shul? Terry says he wants to say that things that create zilzul Shabbos, they didn't waive for mitzvahs. That they stuck their guns on. They said, no, you can't. We start taking trains on Shabbos, next thing we know, it's a zilzul the Shabbos. But he says, so that's why if you clean out your storage house in your house, no one really knows what you're doing. It doesn't lead to Zilz of the Shabbos. But if you come out Shabbos morning with your snow gear and you're sitting there with your shovel for 2 hours, that already cheapens Shabbos. It's Zilus of the Shabbos. So he says that since it creates a Zilus of the Shabbos, maybe it wouldn't be Mutter. So he wants a Taina. He's not convinced 100% it would be Mutter. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted over here in the Sefer Miseres Moshe, that Rav Moshe held that if you think people would get hurt, even children, let's say you have small children, they slip and they fall, or elderly, Rav Moshe says you'd be allowed to shovel the snow for them. Rav Moshe says, but the best thing would be is let the kids shovel the snow. That would be the best case. They love playing in the snow anyway, let the kids shovel the snow. The Shemir Shabbos Kechasa discusses the Shailala, not negate to us, he's discussing if you need to clean the streets so you can get the ambulances down the street or you'd be able to get emergency vehicles down the street. There he says, Avada, if you're worried about that, that of course you're allowed to do. Most of our sidewalks don't pertain to, again, unless you yourself are a medical provider. If you yourself are a Hatzalah member and you can't get down your street, you can't get down your sidewalk, you can't down your driveway, of course you're allowed to shovel it. So the shaila that always comes up is what happens if you have a Goyish, a neighbor, who decides, you know what, I'll shovel it for you. So the consensus of almost all the Gedel Acharenim is there's no Esamiel and Achri over here. You can ask your Goy to do it. So let's say your Goy says, I'm not going to sit there with a shovel, I'm going to bring the machine, I'm going to blow it the right way. Am I allowed to do it then? So Reb Osher Bush writes, that's awesome. A Goy is not allowed to do a Melacha deraisa for you, but for Hesed, that he's not allowed to do. That's what he writes. But I found over here, I photocopied it, we don't have a chance to get into it inside, but Rabbi Ribiyat disagrees. Rabbi Ribiyat says, what happens in the following scenario? Let's say you have workers who work for you. You have the gardener, and when it's winter, his job is to come and shovel your snow. So he shows up Shabbos morning with his snow team, and he's ready to shovel it. He's got a machine, he's got a snow blower. What are you supposed to do? So there's a whole deal. He's supposed to tell him to come back after Shabbos. So he tied his, you don't have to. He thinks really you don't have to, especially if you think they're not going to come back after Shabbos and you're going to be stuck with a big pile of snow. He says, why? Because really they have a din of a kablon. Right? You pay them, you don't pay them on Shabbos, you pay them a whole year. The Be'er Halacha discusses Marasayin. He says, it's not Marasayin. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows the way you pay these guys, you didn't hire them on Shabbos. You paid them before Shabbos, and they're showing up now. So he writes that if they show up, whatever, if they show up with the snowblower, I take the David of it. He's not doing the snowblower for me, he's doing it for himself. He could technically, for the same price, sit there with the shovel, taking double the time. So when he sits there and uses the machine, it's a daite da, he's doing it his own das. So Rabbi Ribiyat thinks he really believes that if a person finds himself in a situation where his crew shows up Shabbos morning, he says, okay, right, you know, we're here to shovel the snow. He thinks if you tell him, no, come back with the Shabbos, he says, come back Saturday night, the snow's going to be to the sky. Why else? The electricity, you mean?
Yeah,
I guess if he uses, let's say, a plow, that's for sure going to be, because every single time he presses down on the gas, then he's going to run into a problem. So yes, you could debate, maybe that might not be deraisa. But so there might be room. So if you're going to ask a guy to shovel the snow for you, that's for sure the best option. Ask a guy, you have no problems. Now, if you're going to hire the guy in Shabbos, then you're in trouble. The problem is you're not going to get the guy to do it for you for free on Shabbos. That he's not going to do. But to hire him on Shabbos, you have a problem. The best option would be to have some form of a kablon. Have some form of arrangement that whenever it snows, he comes up, he shows up to your house. Shabbos, Tuesday, whatever it snows, he shows up. And this way, you don't have a problem.
Don't we know by construction if it's in a Jewish neighborhood?
Because you have Marasayin. There's a Marasayin. So Rabbi Ribi wants to tell you, there's no Marasayin. Everyone knows that I didn't hire him on Shabbos. Everyone knows I hired him before.
So why don't we hold that way with construction?
Right, so he holds the tzarech over here. And the last shayla is, what about putting out salt on Shabbos? So again, the overwhelming majority of the Gedel HaPoskim hold, there's no problem to put down salt on Shabbos. You're breaking down the ice, which the Mechabes and Shulchan Aruch. Also, the answer is only a grama. Since you're breaking down the ice via grama, it would not be a problem. So almost, except for maybe Rav Moshe Feinstein, the halachal mice, the Poskim hold, you can put down salt without a problem. It's only a grama. It is a psik reisha, but the question is, there's raya's to break down ice in the forms of grama, and this is a form of a grama. The last shayla about making snowballs, the majority of Acharenim hold snowballs are not a problem. Why would it be a problem? Because the Gemara says in Shabbos, if you take a bunch of separate things and put them together and make one big unit, it's bainim. So the Acharenim say that that's only if it's going to last like that. The snow doesn't last, it falls apart. So Rabbi Abadi and Rav Shechter held this way, that they hold this. Shemir Shabbos holds snowballs are awesome. It's a pella that he writes. It's a chiddush. He since it's baina. He thinks when you're packing it together, it's baina. Many other gedolei acharonim hold it's not a problem of baina because it's going to fall apart in a second. It's going to fall apart. Others tiny faket. You need to make it one in order to throw the snowball. If the only way to get a good snowball is if the snow is compacted into one. So for those few minutes, it's considered one entity. Halach lemaaser Rabbi Abadi. The Britzina has a chiddush gadol. You're not allowed to throw snowballs. Gzeira, you may throw it outside of the eruv. Let's say you live in Brooklyn where he lived, right? So you have your backyard. You throw the snowball, it goes over the fence. You just threw it to a shisha rabbin. So if you have a whole area of Erev, it shouldn't be a problem. Again, that's a made up gzera, with all due respect. Rabbi Abadi says snowball should be for the kids. It shouldn't be for the adults. But halachal maisa, throwing snowballs or making snowballs would not present a halachic problem with regard to bainim. Next week.